In this service, I want to talk to you about from the topic, it is finished. Maybe it is finished. Maybe you should look at somebody and just tell them, hey bro, or hey girl, it is finished. Find somebody else and say to them, it is finished. It is, I'll paint the town red Sunday today, and especially our red letter day today. And what a day we are having so far. Now you may ask, why paint the town red? Why do we as a church have a day called paint the town red? And why is this day called the red letter day? Because us as a church believe that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to die on a cross, to shed His blood as the perfect sacrifice, the lamb which God provided Himself for you and me to take away the sins of this world. Why do we call this Paint the Town Red Day? Because we believe that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world, died on a cross, shed His blood, became the perfect sacrifice which God provided for you and me, so that today our sins can be removed from us and we can have eternal life. We believe that every person in this great city, in this great country, is already forgiven and have the ability through Jesus to receive eternal life if, say it with me, if, tell your neighbor there's an if they personally make a demand upon the blood of Jesus and paint their life red through repentance. Why do we call this day the red letter, the paint the town red day? Because we believe that Jesus came. Amen. That Jesus came and died on a cross and shed His blood for this great city and for this great country. And that everybody in this city and in this nation and all over the world is already forgiven and can receive eternal life if they personally make a demand themselves upon the blood of Jesus through repentance. Painting the town red means we are sharing the blood of Jesus to people. My question is your life being painted by the blood of Jesus? Can you say that you have personally made a demand upon the blood of Jesus? Because this is what Jesus came for. Jesus came to shed His blood on a cross 2,000 years ago, so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins and receive eternal life. And we as a church believe that it is our duty as the forgiven and the adopted sons of God to paint our town red with the blood and the love of Jesus Christ, through witnessing to as many people as possible that there is power in the blood of Jesus. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus. We believe as a church that we should go out into this world and paint our world red with the blood of Jesus and with the love of God, telling people everywhere that they can have a new, eternal, and forgiven life through the blood of Jesus. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. There is still power today in the blood of Jesus to save all mankind. There is power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus can heal you of any sickness and infirmity that you have. The blood of Jesus is ready to restore you. It is ready to do restoration work in your life if you demand or make a demand on the blood of Jesus. You see, the blood of Jesus is still there to empower you. It still has power. The blood of Jesus still carries the power that was shed on the cross, the power to reconnect you and I to God, to make a way where there seemed to be no way. The blood of Jesus is still setting people free today. Day in, day out, people are set free by the power of the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us eternal life. It is also the blood of Jesus that forgives our sins. It is the blood of Jesus that helps people everywhere right across this city, right across this nation, and all over the world to overcome every obstacle life throws at him. This is why we are having a Paint the Town Red Day. We want to make it aware that there's still power in the blood of Jesus. That Jesus' blood can still heal you, still restore you, still bring breakthrough to you. It can still bring eternal life to you. It is still there if you make a personal demand on the blood of Jesus. You might be here today and you don't know God. I'm telling you that if you make a demand on the blood of Jesus, God's going to save you. God is going to touch you. And God will open a spiritual realm to you where you can live forevermore. You need to make a demand on the blood of Jesus. And you need to take the blood of Jesus and paint your life red with the blood of Jesus. And Revelation chapter 12, 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Wow, in the last book of the Bible, it says that the church of Jesus overcame the evil one, overcame this world, overcame the deceiver, overcame Satan. With what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's why you cannot make a demand on the blood and not become a testimony. How are you going to overcome if you only make a demand for yourself? You have to make a demand for yourself and then become a witness of the power of the blood of Jesus. Many of you are here. You were once a sinner. Now you are a saint. You walked in darkness, but now you are in the marvelous light. How did you get there? By demanding the blood of Jesus, by crying out to God to paint your life red with the blood of His Son. And still today, people overcome right over this world through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And another thing, they did not love their lives even unto death. The biggest challenge some of us have is we love our lives more than we love God. We love our lives more than we love the things of God. We love what we do more than the word of God. How are you going to overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, number one. Then by the word of your testimony, number two. And then by dying to self. The biggest lie the enemy can get to you after you made a demand upon the blood of Jesus is that if you give your life to God, it's all over. Give your life to God, go to church, and you have no life. Well, you anyway don't have a life as it is. You are busy dying very slowly. Nobody is telling you that. Nobody wants to scare you. But that is the fact. If you don't have Jesus, you are already on a road to eternal death. It is only when you receive Jesus through the blood of Jesus, through faith and believe in Him, that God puts you on a new way towards Him, towards eternal life. And you are on an overcoming life. You are a victor. You go from glory to glory. The Bible says God made us more than conquerors in Christ. That means on this road, there are going to be another few obstacles. But you are going to leap like a deer over them. How are you going to do that? By the word of your testimony and by dying to self. Friends, the more you die to yourself, the more power is there for you and everybody else. We also believe as a church, it is not just the blood of Jesus that helps people to experience all the above, but it's also the word of God that empowers us to experience all of the above. We believe that God's word carries the power to transform people, to change them for eternity. You come in here, you're a sinner, you leave out there, you're a saint. You come in here being sick, you leave out there being healed. You come in here feeling depressed. You leave here without depression. How does it happen? Through the blood of Jesus and through the words of God. Church, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God that it prevails. If you allow the word of God to grow in your life, it will prevail in your life.
You shouldn't just come to Sunday and listen to a sermon. It is great to listen to a sermon because faith comes by hearing. But you need to study the Word. You need to make the Word your own. And if you make the Word your own and you are serious to follow the Word and to obey the Word, you are soon going to find that the Word of God is mightily going to grow and prevail in your life. It is also our red letter day. If you study your Bible, and especially in the New Testament, you will find that there's, especially in the four Gospels, where Jesus spoke, it is always highlighted in red, especially in the newer translations. So Jesus himself spoke certain things through the Gospels, things that he said himself. Now, when I got saved, I found that not all Bibles had red letters. I can remember one day a friend of mine phoned me. He said to me, "Are you interested in a Bible?" I said, "Obviously I'm interested in a Bible." He said, "But this is a special Bible." I said, "What makes this Bible so special?" He says, "No, I found it in the attic of an old woman in the city. You better come and look at the Bible." So I've got a Bible that is over 120 years old. Wow. It's a special Bible. What makes it special is just because it's so old. But I haven't found any red letters in it. So I became curious about this red letters that is in the Bible, and I looked in the new translations, it's all what Jesus said. And it's as if God is trying to say to us, my word is important. I'm dead serious about my word. Not that the rest of the Bible is not so important as the words of Jesus. All scripture is profitable, the Bible said. But when I read the red ones, it's almost as if God is saying to me, Tabu, wow, you need to put emphasis on what I say. Not just on what I said, on what I say. And a lot of us put emphasis on what God said to us and not what is God saying to us. So today is our red letter day. And when I studied the red scriptures that Jesus spoke, I find in the Bible no other words more powerful than what Jesus said in John chapter 19. Of all the red letters, all the words Jesus spoke himself, I personally couldn't find for myself words more important than the following. In John chapter 19, 28, and it feels like I've got your attention. Do I have it? Do you want to know this? All right, let's go for it. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine, ooh, this is powerful, was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I cannot find for myself three more powerful words than the following. It is finished. In the book of Revelations, it says to us that the church overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they do not love their lives even unto death. Meaning they are ready to give up their lives for the mission, for the Lord, and for other people. They're ready to die for the church. Not to go and blow themselves up like all these idiots, but really to lay down their lives for other people. By sacrificing their own privileges and their own lives to better the lives of others. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and a life of sacrifice to help others. Now listen, it says after this, Jesus hanging on the cross, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Wow! The man has just gone through the most horrific torture. In that, you won't find him moaning, you won't find him groaning. He's literally dying for the whole world. And the Bible says, after he knew that all was now accomplished, he said, I thirst. Thirst is a physical thing. Thirst is a physical need. It is something that you experience physically, but it can lead also, if you don't have it, to physical death. Yet when Jesus came from hanging on the cross, when he knew that everything was accomplished, then only did he say, I thirst. Making it known to us that whenever you want to accomplish what the Father wants you to accomplish, it ain't going to happen through the flesh. It has to happen through the Spirit. It has to happen through a life of sacrifice, living in the Spirit of God, and then move into the physical. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they didn't hang on to their lives. They were always prepared to let go, always prepared to sacrifice. And here we find Jesus, after knowing that everything was accomplished, said, it is, I thirst. Then they gave him sour wine. Oh, friends, laying your life down for the work of your Father, to do the impossible for the sake of others, you are not going to enjoy good wine all the time. What they're going to dish up for you when you thirst is sour wine. Life is going to throw bitter and sour wine to you all the way, you sacrificing your life for the Lord and for His church. I want to encourage you here today that Christ wants us to overcome and wants us to help people overcome. But church, you need to understand, it is first number one by the blood. Every person on this planet need to make a demand upon the blood of Jesus. You can never go into heaven if your life is not painted red by the blood of Jesus. If you don't turn to God through repentance, you will never see heaven. Your life should be covered by the blood of Jesus. Then when that happens, you need to become a witness. Well, last time I checked, it takes a lot of sacrifice to become a witness. I mean, if it was so easy and everybody enjoyed it, this church would have been full today. This church would have been, there wouldn't have been an empty seat here. If everybody found witnessing so easy. What I found about witnessing is the following. You need to empty yourself to be able to be a witness. You need to be less of me and more of him. I can remember when I started off walking in the city, I want to become a witness. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, do you see that guy standing there? Go witness to him. And I would say, get behind me, Satan. Because suddenly, I need to decrease of how I feel, what's going to happen, and what might happen, and be obedient to what God wants. Witnessing breaks down the flesh. Witnessing breaks down the self. Witnessing is a witness that it's not about you anymore. When you are a witness, you are just not just showing that you know the real deal. When you become a witness, you are showing to people that you still know what is the main thing. Other people.
It is finished, Jesus said. What is finished? What is finished? Why did he say this on the cross and gave up his spirit? It is finished. His last words, it is finished. I want you to know that the work that was needed to save all mankind from their sins and eternal death has been accomplished. What Jesus did on the cross, the way he lived before he went to the cross, was a work that only he could do. And when he did that, he said, it is finished. The work that was finished is Jesus finishing the work that his Father in heaven required for all man to be saved. The work that Jesus finished was the work that heaven required from all mankind to be saved. Jesus said it clearly in the word. He said, I have not come to do my will, but the will of my Father, and to finish it. So many of us want to do the work of our Father. But you have to make up your mind. I am not just going to do the work that my Father required me to do. I am going to finish the work that my Father sent me forth to do. You need to make up your mind to finish what God has asked you to do. You see, nothing can be added to your salvation. Nothing can be added to what Jesus did by dying on the cross. To be right with God, nothing can be added to that work. Therefore, Jesus said, heaven required a man to live under the law and to die a sinless life, shed his blood for all mankind. If there was a man that could do that, heaven required that. Therefore, God sent his only Son in the form of a man to be able to fulfill that work that heaven required. Friends, you can do no work to go into heaven. No good work that you can ever do is enough to make you right with God. Therefore, Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's work and to finish it. Heaven required a certain way to pay for the penalty of sin. That way was death on a cross, shedding innocent blood for mankind. And only the Son of God could do that. And when he finished that, knowing that everything was accomplished, he said, it is finished. Friends, Jesus' finished work on the cross is what you and I need to focus on when we are living this new life. Don't receive the blood of Jesus, paint your life red with the blood of Jesus, but you lose focus on the finished work of Christ. Nothing that you can do after you get born again can make you right with God. Because you are right with Him. And you need to focus on the finished work. What is the finished work? No one can make you right. Christ made you right with God. You need to embrace what He did, be cemented in that, and then live according to His word. Jesus finished the work heaven required for all mankind to be saved. And Jesus finished that work for you and I so that we can have eternal life. Look at what the scripture said in that passage. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, said. The word accomplished means the following. To bring to its goal or conclusion. Carry out, perform, and finish. To complete. To provide, polish to perfect. So the work that Jesus came to do, nothing can be added to it. It's accomplished. It is perfect. It is polished. Jesus came and polished it. He brought it to conclusion.
He carried it out. He performed it to the letter and he finished it. So that all you and I should do is to make a demand on the blood of Jesus and to believe in the finished work of the cross. You don't have to do anything to get yourself saved. You cannot do any good work to get yourself saved. No thing that you do can make you right with God. The only thing that you can do to be right with God is to apply the blood of Jesus over your life and then to live in the finished work of Christ. When you live in the finished work of Christ, tithing is not a problem. Serving is not a problem. Reaching to people is not a problem. Because you know that you are right with God, and because you are right with God, now you love to do the things that Christ wants you to do. Now you can finish God's work. How can you finish the work of your Father? By doing the things that God requires us to do. Friends, the church still has a work. The Bible says God has left us here for one purpose, and that is to seek and save those who are lost. If God has touched your life and the blood of Jesus came over your life, what has He left you to be? A witness. A witness to tell people that there's a hope and a future. Jesus did everything spiritually possible, everything soulish possible, and everything physically needed for you and I to receive eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus made a way to the Father where there was no way. An impossible thing, that what He did on the cross 2,000 years ago, so that many today can come to the Father. In Matthew chapter 27, we find a story of a young man. Now, just follow me from verse 15. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Woo! What's happening over here? This happened the moment Jesus died. The Bible said in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was a big, huge veil that separated mankind from the presence of God. But the moment Jesus gave up His spirit on the cross, the Bible said from the top to the bottom, that veil is torn. Showing to you that God had provided Himself a perfect lamb for mankind and tore the veil from heaven to earth for you and I to enter into a loving relationship with God, a place where we can be forgiven and be restored. Immediately, resurrection power came available. Those who were dead that loved God were resurrected out of their graves. Friends, there's a resurrection power available the moment you give your life to God. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you make a demand on the blood of Jesus, you get born again, resurrection power from heaven is available for you to live a new, powerful, and beautiful life. God does not just want you to make a demand on His blood. God also wants you to make a demand on resurrection power after you are saved. How are you making a demand on the resurrection? How can you make a demand on the resurrection power? How can you make that demand? By laying down your life. Now, this is where Satan confuses us. Stay with me. Because the pastors and people will tell you, get involved, serve. Your life is not your own. You know, lay down your life. Go and be a witness. And we perceive that as what the church wants. Yeah, that's right. You perceive that is what we require from you. No, all of that is what you do when you focus on the finished work. All of that is who you are. Doing all of that is laying down your life for others. So all we're actually trying to do is to show to you how you can make a demand on the resurrection power of God. That's why, stay with me, God said in Malachi that if you give unto me what is mine, you can stand on my word and make a demand for me to bless you. Every time you give your finances away to the work of God, it's a huge sacrifice. It's a dying experience. God says, now you can make a demand on resurrection power. Now you can make a demand on me to give you over and above and to protect you. So when we communicate as the church that to you, don't perceive it that this is what we want and what we need. We don't want that and we don't need that. What we want for you is to make a demand on the resurrection power of God so that every dead area in your life can come alive by the power of God. And the way to do that is to serve, to pray, to witness, to reach out, to give. The more you do that, the more you kill yourself. And the more you kill yourself, not physically, I'm meaning. You all get it? You're letting go of what your needs. By that motions and by that, you are actually making a demand without even knowing it on the resurrection power of God. So next time when somebody's saying to you, why are you not at a prayer meeting? Don't get offended. They want to teach you how you can tap into the resurrection power of God. When somebody speaks to you about your giving that is not in line with what it should, don't get offended and leave the church. They are actually showing you how you can now, without even knowing it, make a demand on the resurrection power of God that is available for you and I. It doesn't help us every Sunday to preach to you, have faith in the finished work. Every Sunday I come here and I say, church, I've got a new message for you. Have faith in the finished work. What's wrong with you? All you need to have is faith in the finished work. What does it mean to have faith in the finished work? You know nothing that you can do can ever save you. You are saved. Nothing that you can do can ever make you right with God. You are right because of the finished work of Christ. Now, every time you serve, every time you reach out, every time you are a builder in God's house, you are a blessing. You're doing your thing in church. You are praying. You're reaching out. You are giving. Everything you do actually role models that you believe in the finished work of Christ. You do everything because Christ has now enabled you to do all these things. Next time when you hear pastor talks about giving, sowing, reaping, don't trip. Don't trip. If you want more resurrection power to bring your dead finances to life, it comes through death. Die to your own needs, put God's needs first. Die to your own needs, put other people's needs first. This is what Jesus did. And the moment he knew that it was accomplished, he said, I need water. Start living a life from the finished work of Christ. Start living a life where God is first, other people is first. And when you've put them first, then say, I need. Jesus did everything, and after he knew it was accomplished, he said, I physically need. Friends, God is constantly And what happened when he said, I physically need? What did the world dish up for him? Sour water. You are going to put God first. You're going to put people first. And then you're going to say, Lord, I first. And you know what? What is the world 10 to 1 going to dish up to you? Sour water. And then what do most of us do? We leave the church. We leave God. I don't want anything to do with this. I sacrifice my time. I sacrifice my finances. I sacrifice my life for God. And now I need and I get sour water. Oh, come on. You need to know that even though you die for the whole world, the world might still dish up to you sour water. But if you know, you see, you need to know that when you do these things for God and for people, your God in heaven sees it, and you are finishing the work that He has set us out to do in this city and in this nation. The veil is torn. We can freely enter. God ripped it from heaven to earth and say, now you can become mine. Now you can have a relationship with me. Now you are available to enter into heaven's glory for all mankind to meet God through the resurrection power of Jesus in a vibrant relationship. How do you keep the resurrection power of God in your life? A vibrant relationship. Not just dying to self. Too many of you are dying to self without faith and a relationship with Jesus. It's like watering something and then you leave it to dry for months. You water it and then you leave it to dry for months, thinking that it's going to grow. No, it's not going to grow. You need to add a vibrant relationship to Jesus. Never come to church looking like an old man when you're 25. Never come to church looking like you're sucking lemons the whole week and you still have life in your lungs and you're not sick. What is wrong with you? You're going to serve and serve and serve, but not having a vibrant relationship with Jesus, you're going to wear yourself out. Then later you're going to be angry towards God and angry towards the church and everybody else. Because when you leave here, the world is not dishing up like a Fanta or a Coke to you. It's dishing up sour wine. So you lay your life down for God and for people, but all you get is sour wine. Because you have not made up your mind that Christ has perfected His word. He has perfected your salvation. He has perfected everything for you. That if you put your faith in what He did, and you do not put your faith in what you can get, knowing that when you serve, you will not become weary. Your relationship with the Lord will still stay the most important thing in your life. Friends, it's time for us to believe that God will bring forth new life, eternal life, and victory to every man, and over sin and eternal death. You need to have faith in your heart that God will save your friends, that God will save your family, that God will save your neighbors. It doesn't help a thing for you to bring them to church, and Pastor Tabo should have faith. You should have faith that you are busy finishing the work that the Father has left you to do, and the power of that has been the finished work of Christ. Thank God that He finished salvation. I can't add nothing to it. All I can do is point people to it. In John chapter 3 verse 1 to 7 it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Jesus answered, said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." And the church of Jesus today marvels. Jesus said, do not marvel what I say. Unless you are born from my Spirit, you will never see the kingdom of God. And unless you are born of Spirit and water, you will never enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you do not receive our witness." Friends, you need to learn to speak what you know and testify of what you have seen. And even when you do that, many people will still not receive your witness. He says here, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Friends, I want to tell you that Jesus made it so clear how to get into heaven, how to be right with God, how to make a demand on the blood of Jesus. You have to be born again. You have to turn to him and know that he came not to condemn you, but to give you eternal life. The Bible says he came into this world as the Son of God because he loved the world more than he loved himself. He loved you. Came to die for you and I. So that today we can have the ability to be born again. To receive him as our Lord and Savior. So that we should not perish but have everlasting life. God is very clear. He did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In 1 John 5 verse 4 it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Friends, what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago is a finished and complete work. When you believe that and you'd make a demand on the blood of Jesus, you will be born again. When you are born again, Christ wants you to know that the road of overcoming is connected to your faith. It's connected to your faith. What are you going to believe about your life is the victory you're going to have. You're a Christian here today. You made a demand upon the blood of Jesus. Your life is painted by the blood of Jesus, your whole life is red, painted red. You are a son of God. You are born from God. You are born again. But you're still not living in the victory. You have to work on your faith. You have to work on your faith. You need to take the word of God and you need to apply the word of God to your life. And maybe you are here tonight, today, and you say, "Tabu, if I'm honest, I don't have a relationship with God. I've been coming to church all my life. I was born in a Christian family." Friend, I want to tell you, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And unless you are born of water and spirit, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. For 2,000 years ago, the world has been forgiven. And you can receive forgiveness, restoration, and eternal life, a life of abundance, by just demanding the blood of Jesus over your life. By turning to Him in faith and say, Lord, I call upon the blood of Jesus that has the power to forgive me, to heal me, to restore me, and to make me a victor. Not a victim. It's time for many of us to become victors and stop being victims. God has made you a victor through His blood, and through your faith, you are going to live an overcoming life through your faith. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the finished work on the cross. Thank you that you finished everything needed for us to be right with you. That we can't add anything to that process. But Jesus did it all 2,000 years ago on the cross. So that today, if we believe and made a demand upon your blood, you will forgive us, restore us, heal us, and even empower us to have a great life. And right now, I pray for two kinds of people here, Father. I pray for those who do not know you, those who have never made a demand upon the blood of Jesus, those who know that their lives are not right with God, but they want to make right. Maybe you thought that God is angry with you, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about you. I'm here to tell you that that is all false. God loves you. God cares about you, and God is not condemning you of your past. God is inviting you to make a demand upon His blood so that He can heal you, restore you, and ultimately use you for His glory. And maybe you're here today and you say that you are a Christian, that your life is painted red by the blood of Jesus, but you still lack in living a victorious life. I want to encourage you through the word today. The road to victory is to become a witness of what you know and what you've seen about the power of God. And then to live a life of sacrifice unto the Lord and unto people, knowing that the more you let go, the more you will receive from the Lord. Father, I thank you for every person here. And I especially pray for those who know that their lives are not right and they want to make their lives right. I want to ask you, if it's you in this place and you say, Tabu, that's me. I know my life is not right with God, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to turn to God. I want to make a demand upon the blood of Jesus so it can come and cover my life and empower me, heal me, and restore me. While all the eyes are closed and heads are bowed and you say that is you, then I ask you, can I please pray with you before we go today? If it's you, while all the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, can I ask you to quickly just slip up your hand and show me by hand where you are so that I can pray with you before we go today? Thank you. I see your hand in the front. If you've put it up, you can put it down, but I'm going to ask you to put it up high. Maybe you're sitting at the back or on the balcony or even here in the front and you say, this is me. I need to make right with God. I know my life is not right. I'm going to make a demand upon the blood of Jesus today so that I can have a relationship with God. Then I want to pray with you, please. If there's anybody else, you haven't put up your hand yet, you know you should, just slip it up high, and we're going to pray with you. Wherever you are, thank you in the front, I see your hand. If you put it up, you can put it down. Come on, this is a safe place for you to make a good choice. Another hand, thank you. Don't let this opportunity by. Whole heaven is shouting out your name. God is encouraging you right now just to believe that God can save you, restore you, heal you, and ultimately use you for His glory. Oh, that is a good deal. That is good news to know that God is really after your heart. You haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Slip it up high, and we're going to pray together today. And before we go, everything is going to change. Right now, you need to make a decision. The Bible says God puts before us life and death, but He encourages us to choose life. Come on, this is now the time for you to choose life. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You know you need to put up your hand, slip it up, and we're going to pray with you. In a moment, we're going to pray. Thank you. More hands are going up. Come on. This is a safe place for you to make a good choice. God loves you. He cares about you. This whole service is arranged for this moment for you to connect to Jesus. Come on, you haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Slip it up. Just show me by hands. Just wave. Say, Tabu, here I am. Thank you. Another hand. Thank you. Come on, we're encouraging you. Whole heaven is shouting your name, saying, yes, put up your hand. God is with you. God loves you. I'm going to pray right now. You haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Quickly, just show it for me in the back. Thank you. I see your hand. This is your day. This is your hour. God loves you and God cares about you. Father, we thank you for every person. May your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, if you receive the word with me, please stand to your feet and give Jesus a big hand. Oh, that was a lousy clap. And as we clap, we're going to ask you to do something very bold. You put up your hand or you haven't put up your hand. You just know that is me. I need to be included in this prayer. Now, many hands went up. I want to ask you to do something bold. I want you to push everybody aside and quickly come to the front so I can pray with you. Because there's... I want you all to look at me. Jesus just said it in the scripture. He said, when he dies on the cross, he's going to draw all men to him. Then you need to know that after we pray today, you need to make up your mind that your old life is finished and that the new has come. Because I want to tell you that you have to believe today that if you give your life to Jesus, everything will change. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to mean business with Jesus. If you mean business with him, he means business with you. Because what is going to happen right now by praying this prayer, you are going to make a demand on the finished work of Jesus. You're going to make a demand on the blood of Jesus. You're going to say, Jesus, cover my, paint my life red with your blood. And when Jesus does that, he forgives us our sins, gives you a new life, give you a better advantage. If God can do it with Tabu, and God can do it with you, and God can use us, then God can use you. And that is ultimately what God wants through your life. Amen. Today it's starting in your life, through your life. And it's an honor for me to pray with you. I want you to put your hand on your heart, close your eyes. And I want you to really pray this out loudly, because the Bible says we have to confess. Pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. I ask for forgiveness and I receive it. Thank you that I now know that you love me, that you have died for me so that I can have eternal life. Father, I believe that Jesus is your son. I confess today that he's my Lord. Use me for your kingdom and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.